This is always a very difficult service to preach on because we just have this incredibly emotional, graphic reading where we see our Lord betrayed, tried, crucified, and after that, what am I going to say, right? Jesus was crucified as our ransom. Now, we all know what a ransom is, don't we? It's a price that is paid to release someone who is held captive. And then that's exactly what our lives are without Christ. We are captives, captives to our own emotions, our own feelings, our own drives, our own agendas, and our own opinions. We are captives to the way we only look at the world, the way we want to see the world. We start becoming little kings in our own universes. That's all we all believe should revolve around ourselves, and somehow that leaves us feeling empty and frustrated. We bear these wounds within us because we want to make ourselves the center of our lives. We want to make ourselves the center of our own world, our own universe. And this leaves us feeling empty. This is Adam and Eve. They wanted to be like God, right? And so they tried to find some shortcut to becoming like God, powerful as God. And they followed the way of the serpent, the one we sometimes refer to as Satan, sometimes refer to him as the devil. Now, I want to make something clear here. While we see the words Satan or devil as the name of an unclean spirit, the prince of demons, he who rebelled against God, they actually are descriptors. In Hebrew, the word Satan means literally accuser. It's not a name. It's a descriptor. It's a description of who he is and what he does. He is the accuser. The word devil is a Greek word from diabolos, and what it means is the deceiver. So while we can see Satan as a being, as an evil entity, as an evil spirit, he is by his very nature the accuser and the deceiver. And if we're not careful, that's who we can become. But most importantly, we must always remember to never listen to the accuser, the deceiver. You know, when Jesus rose from the dead, I know I'm stepping ahead a couple of days, but when Jesus rose from the dead, he said, "All power in heaven and on earth is given to me." He didn't leave any power behind for the devil. However, if we listen to the accuser, deceiver, if we believe his lies, then we have given our power to him. See, if someone deceives you or attempts to deceive you and you don't believe the lie, they have no power or control over you. But if you believe that lie, then they have all power and control over you. It's the deception. So Jesus came to proclaim truth. And what did he say to Pilate? "All who follow the truth are followers of me." But Pilate, like so many of us, goes, "What is truth?" We're so focused on this world, this life, these things around, that surround us, that we miss the truth that God is trying to give to us. And missing that truth, Pilate crucified Jesus. But I want to talk just a moment about the wounds of Jesus. Jesus bore in his body 5 wounds. From that first reading from Isaiah, we heard that by his wounds we are healed. He bore in his body our sins, our iniquities. He bore in his body our sickness. He bore in his body our guilt and our shame. He nailed it to the cross, and by his wounds we are healed. Jesus was wounded, has 5 wounds. We know this, right? In his hands, in his feet, and in his side. Now, at the introduction of sin into the world, at the fall of mankind, there were 5 wounds of sin that entered into mankind, and those wounds drive us and leave us feeling empty and in desperate need of a ransom, a redeemer, a savior. And those wounds are deception, legalism, fear, shame, and death. Remember how the whole fall of man begins is with the deception of the serpent. The serpent deceives Eve. He says, "You will not surely die. Did God really say you were going to die? I don't think so." Deception is a wound of sin, and that's how the devil works, is to deceive us, to make us believe a falseness, and that leads us into his lair. Deception is the first wound of sin. The second is legalism. Remember, it was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And all of us think, well, isn't that important that we know good from evil, right from wrong? Isn't that what makes things work? That's not the path Christ has for us. It's not the path that God had for Adam and Eve in the garden. Not to live a life built upon laws and regulations, but to live a life built on fellowship, to walk with God in the cool of the day. And sin broke that, and mankind became bound to a religion of legalism, of knowing right from wrong and doing right from wrong. But here's the problem. If we live our lives according to legalism, then when we're keeping the laws, we feel good about ourselves, right? It's a gateway to pride. Look at me, I'm keeping the laws. Look at that person, they're not. It's a gateway to pride. Jesus promised in his new covenant that he would not write his laws in black and white in some book, but he would write his laws in our hearts. Not to be driven by trying to meet someone's standards, because we never do. We always fail to meet someone's standards. We fail to meet our own standards. But he would write the law of love in our hearts, and in love there is no pride. In love there is just giving. There is fellowship. There is communion. There is relationship. And that's what God desires of us. To leave behind the law and embrace him in love and fellowship, and embrace one another in love and in fellowship, rather than in judgment because they failed to meet some standard. The third wound of sin is the wound of fear. How many people are afraid of God, their Creator? How many people are afraid of God, their Father, who want to, like Adam and Eve, run and hide, sow fig leaves for themselves so somehow God might not be able to see them, might not be able to find them. We hide behind these mental fig leaves because we're afraid to see God, to know God. And that's all he desires, is to allow us to come to him in knowledge and in fellowship and relationship. Jesus says, "I call you my friends." He puts an end to this concept we have to be afraid of God. Remember Zechariah's prophecy? that Jesus would come to set us free from fear so we could worship him without fear, holy and righteous in his sight all the days of our lives. See, we want to look at ourselves and see how sinful we are, how far we fall short, how much we don't meet the rules, how far we fail to fulfill the knowledge of good and evil. But he looks at us through the blood of Christ and sees us holy and righteous in his sight, because he does not see us. He only sees us through the cross of Christ, so that we are set free from that wound of sin that is fear. And then the next wound of sin is shame. How we feel guilty and ashamed. We, like Adam and Eve, want to run and hide. We hide from ourselves. We feel like we are victims, that the abuse that has been laid on us is so great that it shames us. And we want to hide behind masks, even from ourselves. And then the final wound of sin is death. See, all sin by its very nature is self-destructive. That's why God instructs us on how to live our lives in a way that brings fulfillment and life and joy and peace. To live life in the Holy Spirit, to live life in constant relation and relationship and fellowship with God, so that we can enjoy this life. Jesus said, "I have come that you might have life and have it abundantly." All sin by its very nature is self-destructive. It's as if we are a world of mankind committing suicide, usually by slow means. We find slow ways to kill ourselves because we are afraid of relationship with God. We run and hide in fear. We suffer shame, and so we punish ourselves. But that's not God's heart. God's heart is to embrace. And so Jesus bore in his body 5 wounds so that we could be free from legalism, from fear, from shame, from deception, and from death. As we come to venerate the cross tonight, I would like us all to meditate upon the wounds of Christ and our wounds, the places where we know we are hurting, the places where we know that we hide these things from ourselves and from others because we're afraid that if people really knew us, they would think we were frauds. If God really knew us, God would think we were frauds. But God just sees beloved children who he came to die for. Our God is dying to heal you. Our God is dying to fill your life with richness. Our God is dying to replace your deception with truth. Our God is dying to replace your shame with joy. Our God is dying to replace your self-destruction with life abundant. Our God is dying to give himself to you. So as we come today to venerate the cross, take what time you need to bundle up your wounds that you've been carrying for a long time. Place them into the wounds of Christ and let the wounds of Christ bring you healing.